Good morning, everyone, and happy day 16 of session, 44 to go. The Constitutional Rights, Rule of Law, and Government Operations Subcommittee meeting will now come to order. Tamara, please call the roll.
Chair Rhodes?
Present.
Vice Chair Roth?
Democratic, here.
Democratic Ranking Member Joseph?
Here.
Representative Spankson?
Here.
Brackett?
Here.
Brannon?
Here.
Cross?
Here.
Edmonds? Schock?
Here.
Lopez? Jay?
Here.
Plakin? Porras?
Here.
Trunell? Waldron?
Here.
Yarkowski? A quorum is present.
Members, a quorum is present. Please remember to silence your electronic devices. Members, we have, looks like we have five bills on the agenda today. We're going to get right into it. We're going to start with Leader Grant. He's going to present proposed committee substitute for House Bill 1567. Good morning, Leader Grant. You're recognized.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, members. Thank you for having me here this morning to explain PCS HB 1567. As we all know, Florida is vulnerable to frequent emergencies caused by weather, disease, and human activity. The State Emergency Management Act provides authority and tools for comprehensive state and local emergency planning and response. And while the Division of Emergency Management has significant authority to coordinate emergency response with local governments and other states and FEMA, the primary responsibility and resources for emergency response are the county's emergency management agencies. Each county must have an emergency management agency headed by an appointed director. But current law only requires these directors to meet whatever criteria the county chooses to put in its job description. This PCS creates a minimum education experience and specific training qualifications for our county emergency management directors, and recognizing that not all those currently serving in that position meet these criteria, the PCS gives them until June 30th, 2026 to satisfy the requirements, and that is the bill.
Okay, thank you, Leader Grant. Leader Grant, having explained PCS for House Bill 1567, members, we're now in questions. Vice Chair Roth, you're recognized for question.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Leader, for this great bill. I just have one simple question. Palm Beach County is comfortable with this bill. They're meeting all the qualifications, the education and all that, but I am worried about some of the rural counties. Does any comments to anybody about 2026 being a tight deadline?
You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the question. Yeah, I have heard comments from a lot of the rural counties. As a matter of fact, I just talked to one of them this morning, and I'm open for suggestions. I've asked them to give me their comments. This is the committee process. This is why we do what we do. So I want them to respond to me. We will make changes to the bill as it goes forward, and I have assured them of that. But I do want their comments. At the end of the day, I want to make sure that however large your community is, however large your county is, that the individuals living there are protected.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Members, we're in questions. See no questions. I also see no amendments for PCS for House Bill 1567. Seeing no amendments, we're now going to move into public testimony. I think we have two comment cards. The first one is from J.R. Grimes of Putnam County, wishes to appear in person and speak. Mr. Grimes, good morning. You're recognized to approach the podium, and you're recognized to share your comments on the bill.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak in front of you today. I just spoke with Leader Grant just a second ago. Our issue is a rural county, which was just pointed out, it becomes very difficult to hire somebody with 6 years of experience. And I want to give a personal testimony to this. We hired a gentleman, master's degree, public emergency management protection. He came in with zero experience because I can tell you from an interior rural county, we are not the mecca for emergency managers, okay? Coastal counties, it's really, really easy. My applicant pool had either way off the end of somebody in the very end of their career that was looking for the last retirement job, or zero experience at all. And the ones with 25 or 30 years, being a physically constrained county, we can't afford them, okay? And the other thing I kind of worry about that's maybe potentially written in the bill is that they're tying our EMPG and PA money to it. So if we don't meet the minimum qualification, it's not going to happen to us today. Our current emergency manager meets it. But what does it look like into the future? How can I hire that person? And if I don't have the ability to hire that person, I'm going to lose my funding from the state of Florida. So I believe that becomes unfair and really challenging for the rural counties that we have. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Grimes. Sir, can you take a few questions from the committee members?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
As a ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we heard from the bill sponsor that he's open to potential solutions. One of the things that came up when we were discussing the bill is a potential extended timeline. What timeline would, if you were providing any suggestions on a timeline, what timeline would make more sense to be able to address kind of what you're talking about?
You recognize, sir.
I don't know that it's necessarily a timeline today, but if we could put some kind of language in there that they have to meet it within a certain amount of time of being hired. Because I can bring somebody in with limited to zero experience, but within 3 years, they have to meet X, Y, and Z criteria, whether it's through additional training, through FEMA, through stuff that's local, I think would kind of also help us in the future. Today is not a problem for our county. I hired an emergency manager by the time 2026 rolls around. No issue whatsoever. However, if he was to leave, because I mean, there is some counties out there that are in that emergency management world that are very appetizing for an employee that they look forward to going and working the coastal counties or a very, you know, large impacted area, I'm going to lose one in the future. I mean, I know it because, I mean, that's what they're looking to do to be the absolute top of their class in their career. I don't know what my next one looks like, and I have no idea what that's going to look like moving into the future, whether I got a qualified applicant or not coming. But I think a timeline is no problem, and I don't think you're going to have any problem getting them trained. It's just a matter of being able to get them trained in a specific amount of time.
Follow-up?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I am asking about the second. So not your person right now, mm-hmm. but for a new hire who may come in with zero experience, and this might be something for Leader Grant to consider, is either having an MOU with a neighboring county or municipality that may have somebody who has more experience that they you can work with while they're getting the additional training or whatever is needed to get to meet the qualifications, whether it's experience or the education. My question for you is, in terms of the timeline for somebody with zero experience, what do you think would be a reasonable timeline to get them there?
Recognize.
I think if you gave them a four-year time, if they came in with no experience to get all the minimum qualifications, I think a 3 to 4 year term would absolutely get us there. But I think there should be some trade out for their degree as well. Because currently it's written as it requires a master's degree and 6 years. Well, the master's degree is fine. Can we get some trade out? We spoke to the leader about maybe doing some kind of exchange, and he was very open to the conversation.
Representative Cross, you're recognized. Questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question was similar. The way I read the PCS, a master's degree could substitute for 2 years of experience. So do you think there's an appropriate level of experience that would be necessary? I can see that someone just coming from a bachelor's degree, taking on a significant, you know, hurricane or storm with no experience may not be in the best interest of residents. Is there maybe a middle ground of number of years that you think that you could get qualified people, be able to retain them in your community, but still have the safety for your residents?
You recognize.
I think there is probably some middle ground there. I don't know that I've got the direct answer for you today because of the way that they're, I just can't predict my applicant pool of the future. And that's my problem. I mean, if I'm hamstrung by a thing that says you must have this, 6 years, that's the equivalent to a master's degree. Why, if they took all the classes that are required for them to get their degree out of college, I get it, they don't have the practical experience, but they're not the only one inside your rural counties that are helping administer. I mean, I came out of the fire rescue service 25 years. I've got the experience in the operation of that, but I can't use my qualification to be the emergency management director, you know, if we've got a county appointed. So I think we're just putting a lot of strain on our emergency management director straight out of school in a rural county. If I'd had a strong applicant pool in my last one, I probably wouldn't be here in front of you today. I'm just not getting them.
Rep. Trunell, you're recognized for question.
Thank you, and thank you for being here today. You have more than one person in your emergency management system, right? Employee-wise.
Recognize.
Yes, sir. We have two. We have an EM director and an EM specialist. So I'm not overly concerned about our county today as much as I am our county or our small rural counties in the future. So the person I have number two in my emergency management operation would qualify by 2026 of having the 6 years of experience. Our turnover rate in the interior counties or rural counties is can be so significant. And with a department of two, if I was to lose my EM specialist to go take another EM job somewhere across the state of Florida, now I'm back at, you know, zero again, which makes it really, really difficult for us to promote either from inside or even draw somebody.
Now you recognize your follow-up.
Do you have a significant training program to train these people that are coming up in your ranks to qualify in a matter of 6 years to be able to do that job?
Yes, sir. So our folks are steady in training. I mean, there's stuff offered through FEPA, which is the Florida Emergency Management Preparedness Association. They go to FEMA classes throughout the state of Florida and throughout the rest of the country. They're always training. They're always learning. So they do have the ability to get classroom experience, but it's the actual physical years of service that's going to be really difficult to get.
Sir, really appreciate you coming up here, sharing your thoughts, and taking all these questions from members. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we have one more. Mr. Chris Doolin, Small Community, Small County Coalition. You're recognized. Good morning, sir.
Thank you. My name is Chris Doolin. I work with the small counties, but I work with counties across the state, the Florida Association of Counties, et cetera. I do want to say I work with Leader Grant.
Sir, you're coming across very, very faint.
Well, let me correct
there
that.
There you go. Okay.
Okay. I've worked with Leader Grant for the beginning of his first round here, and there's no one more honorable. I mean, he's a wonderful policy legislator. And I know of no other network of county staff that works in concert closer to the state agency that works with them than the emergency managers and the department of, or the division of emergency management. There is training. Now, it is appropriate for criteria. I don't want to speak against criteria. I don't know if a bachelor's degree is going to beat the guy that served for 8 years or whatever. And it's important to understand in a county emergency management process, it's not just one person. You have a team. The county, the city, the sheriffs, the law enforcement, all that. So it's not just hanging out everybody hanging on one individual. So, and there's also what you call an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding. You really have to compliment counties when a disaster hits, because I know in Calhoun County, when they needed to staff up, it was Palm Beach County that came to the rescue or came to their assistance, and Monroe. And you can look at across the board. There's no network that works closer with each other to make sure the capacity is there to respond to an emergency than the county network. So this is a very important bill. And in the real world, you guys, you all know this. You've had disasters hit your community. You know these emergency managers face coming in, leave their family afterwards. And so I don't want to speak against the criteria of a bachelor's degree. I'm not sure that really matters when you hit the ground or this, that, and the other. So I will be working with Representative Grant, and I do appreciate it. I kind of followed him almost to the restroom yesterday make sure, yeah, I got it, I'm going to make a change. So let me just say that. Let's be careful here, because we have capacity and years of training, or give me 2 years to do this. In these rural counties, we have a tough time finding people with credentials. And the bill deletes the job description established by the county. So there ought to be some middle ground, and I'd like to find that and the job description, and there may be a requirement that if you don't have somebody, you are paired with another county that does, or a regional consortium of some kind. But to mandate this is, I think some folks would have problems meeting the requirement and even complying over a period of time. Okay, so good enough?
Yes, sir. Questions for Mr. Doolin? You recognize, Ranking Member.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for being with us today. Just so that I understand, if you were to itemize what your requested changes are for the bill or what you're advocating for, what would those be exactly?
Well, I think that, I don't know. We'll work on that, and I certainly think that the professional association, FIPA, needs to engage. If they haven't, they really need to. But some element of a smaller county or someone who can't meet the or feels they can't, they communicate that to the department. They work with a sponsor, mentor, another county that has capacity. And there is training that goes on, whether it's a degree. I don't know. That'd be kind of tough in some instances. So those kind of things. Making sure that there's oversight, that there's looking at the issues. Look, Idalia, Ian, Nicole, Dennis, there might have been a failure somewhere along the line. It might have been lack of infrastructure. But bottom line is these folks do a good job, and they work with their communities, and they work with you. You're on the front line when an emergency comes through. You're in those emergency operations centers. You see those folks working. And if there's a problem with someone, let's get rid of them. Let's get them out and not slam the whole deal. So that all that was for information. I'm not really opposed to the leader. At any rate, any other questions? Okay.
Thank you, sir.
I think you all understand our concern.
Thank you. Having concluded public testimony, members, we're now in debate on PCS for House Bill 1567. Members, we are in debate. We have any members wishing to debate? Yes, Representative Plakin, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. You know, when I read this bill, I first was concerned about the rural counties, and I still think that's an issue, but thinking about this bill and the importance of having somebody qualified for an emergency response takes me back to Hurricane Katrina, right, in 2005. And we all remember FEMA Director Michael Brown. And he was hired by his friend. I did a little research this morning. He was an attorney with a Juris Doctorate degree, of course, but he lacked the experience to do a job like that. I mean, he had about 4 years of experience in any type of emergency management. And the bill requires 6 years of experience. And I think the experience factor is probably the most important one here. And I would say that leadership experience is probably more important than the degree. But I just want to thank the leader, Grant, for being so open to suggestions about this bill. I think it's a really good bill. And I think with a rural and small county exclusion, it's going to be a great bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, we're in debate. Ranking Member Joseph, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you. Thank you for this bill. I'm supportive, and I intend to vote yes today. And I think what I'm hearing, it's been articulated in the context of rural counties, but you might have some fiscally constrained issues that also are related. And I think we've heard some suggestions, including the one that I made in terms of, you know, partnering them, getting an MOU or something, where there's somebody who does know what they're doing, providing that necessary oversight. So I look forward to seeing what the product ends up as. I do think it's important to have some kind of standards in light of what these people are in charge of. So thank you.
Thank you. Members, we're in debate. Vice Chair Roth, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Leader. I'm up on this bill. I think the idea of emergency management is and qualifications is absolutely imperative. I live in Palm Beach County, and hurricane season is a big deal, and you have flooding issues and all types of issues, evacuations, and so this is critically important. But I would ask the sponsor of the bill to consider some type of either extension, a longer period of time for rural counties, or some type of exception or something that would allow, because in rural areas. Where you have cities with population less than 50,000, it's manpower and getting qualified people really is a critical issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other members in debate, Leader Grant, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. A couple of things. First of all, thank you for your suggestions, Representative Joseph. I will take everything under advisement. if you think about it, this bill could have been very simple. We could have taken the requirements and said, we're going to pass a bill and make the requirements for county EM directors have it written by our emergency management director here in Tallahassee and just walked away from the problem. But because we are the legislature and we have the responsibility to govern and to make rules, I decided to write this bill and to put it before you to get your input and to get input from the small counties, the big counties, and everybody in between. So I will assure you that this bill will change. I'm not sure where the sweet spot is going to be, but there will be changes to the bill that we can make sure that we are accommodating the rural counties, but also accommodating the people who are going to be impacted when a storm hits. It was interesting to me to hear today about Putnam County and their dilemmas, because yesterday I heard from somebody who was appointed to an emergency management director in another small county who had no experience, had no coursework, and has been in the job for 6 years and doesn't have a bachelor's degree. And everybody thinks that that person is doing a great job, but I asked myself, what would have happened if there was a storm that hit that community the day after she was appointed, when she had no experience and no training? And that's what this bill is seeking to address. So we'll get there. I just ask for your patience while we work through all the iterations. And with that, I close.
Thank you, Leader Grant. Having closed, Tamara, please call the roll. Let's take a vote on proposed committee substitute for House Bill 1567.
Representatives Bankson?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Horace? Roth?
Yes.
Trunell? Waldron?
Yes.
Yarkoski? Chair Roach?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, let the record reflect that PCS for House Bill 1567 has passed favorably out of this committee unanimously by a vote of 14 to 0. Leader Grant, thank you so much, sir. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for your support.
Okay, members, that moves us to House Bill 1331 by Representative Yeager. Sir, you are recognized to explain House Bill 1331.
Thank you, Chair Roach, Vice Chair Roth, and Ranking Member Joseph. HB 1331 directs the Department of Management Services to create and maintain a forced labor vendor list of companies that have provided to an agency a commodity produced in whole or in part by forced labor. This bill prohibits vendors from submitting a bid, proposal, or entering into or renewing a contract to provide goods or services to an agency after its placement on the list. An agency also is unable to accept a bid, proposal, or enter an agreement with a company on the forced labor vendor list. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Okay, thank you, sir. Having explained House Bill 1331, members, we're in questions on House Bill 1331. Representative Waldron, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, and thank you. I think this is a great bill. I had a question. How do you determine who's on this list, this bad list of
you're recognized to explain the bad list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question, Rep. So this is either self-reporting or it can be reported by a third party to report this happening. And then the Department of Management Service would investigate it and determine if they need to be put on the list at that time.
Just one.
Follow-up?
One.
You're recognized.
Thank you. Sure. And then it's a year later they have to reapply or whatever to get off the list?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, yes, so they're on the list for 365 days. And then they will drop off the list so they can try to then get a new contract with the agency again after that 1 year's up.
Members, I don't see any further questions. I see no amendments on the bill.
There is one.
Amendment. Oh, we do have an amendment. Excuse me. We do have an amendment on the bill. Representative Yeager, you're recognized to explain your amendment, barcode 349965.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment clarifies that a company put on the forced labor vendor list is automatically removed after 365 days unless a petition for removal is granted earlier, and it clarifies that a company that loses a petition to be removed from the list may not file another petition before the ending of the 365-day period.
Thank you. Members, we're in questions on the amendment. Seeing no questions on the amendment, We're in public testimony on the amendment, seeing no public testimony on the amendment. We're in debate on the amendment. See no debate on the amendment. You're recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave close.
Okay. Any objection to amendment barcode 349965? Seeing no objection, show that the amendment is adopted. We are now back on the bill. We're going to move into public testimony on the bill. Have no speaker cards for public testimony on the bill. We're moving into debate on the bill. We're in debate on the bill. Seeing no members that wish to debate on the bill, you're recognized to close.
Wave close, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, having waved close, Tamara, please call the roll. Let's take a vote on House Bill for 1331.
Representative Spangson?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Shock?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Horace? Roth?
Yes.
Trunell? Waldron?
Yes.
Yarkowski? Yes. Chair Roach?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, let the record reflect that this bill, House Bill 1331, has passed unanimously by a vote of 14 to 0. Congratulations, sir. Have a great day. Okay, next up, we have Representative Botana to present House Bill 1211. Representative Botana, good morning. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee, for hearing this bill. This bill requires each executive agency with an adjournment advisory board to upload a report by August 15th of each year to the Florida Fiscal Portal website maintained by the governor's office, and that is the bill.
Okay, thank you for that succinct explanation. Having explained the bill, members, we're now in questions on House Bill 1211. Seeing no questions, I also see no amendments on this bill. Seeing no amendments, we're going to move into public testimony. Okay, no public testimony. We're in debate on House Bill 1211 by Representative Botana. Members, we're in debate. Okay, seeing no one wishes to take on Representative Botana. Representative, you're recognized to close on your bill. Having waived close on the bill, Tamara, please call the roll on House Bill 1211.
Representative Spangson?
Yes.
Brackett? Brannon?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Shock?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Horace? Roth?
Yes.
Trunell? Waldron?
Yes.
Yarkowski? Chair Roach?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Congratulations, Representative Botana. Let the record reflect that House Bill 1211 has passed out of this committee by a vote of 14 to 0. Thank you, sir.
Chair, thank you, committee.
Okay, we're going to take up House Bill 1225 by Representative Anton. Sir, good morning. Happy to see you. You're recognized to explain House Bill 1225.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, members of the committee. Thank you for hearing House Bill 1225. Today, the Florida Commission on Human Relations is required to use registered mail when notifying a person, company, or organization that a complaint regarding discrimination has been filed against them. The commission is also required to use registered mail when notifying the company, organization, or person that the commission has made some probable determination of probable cause, meaning there is some evidence to support evidence of discrimination. So what this bill does is remove the requirement that registered mail be used. It allows the commission to use a number of means of communicating with the respondent and the claimant. So they can still use certified mail. They can use registered mail, electronic mail, regular U.S. mail. They can use Action Stop, and they can also use electronic mail. And so there is a tracking system at the Florida Commission on Human Relations. They have their internal tracking system that can be public record requests to verify that a claimant has been notified. And so that's the bill. I hope that makes sense. But in other words, it removes the requirement that the commission use registered mail.
Thank you, sir. Members, for anyone that it doesn't make sense for, you're recognized to ask some questions. Okay, seeing no questions, I also see no amendments on the bill. We're going to move into public testimony. I have no speaker cards on the bill. Members, we're in debate on House Bill 1225. Members in debate. Ranking Member Joseph, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you. I wanted to thank the bill sponsor. I know we had some questions about the notification requirement and making sure that the employer still had the opportunity to get actual notice. So thank you for finding the answer to that question, and I look forward to voting yes.
Members, in debate, any member wishing to debate? I would say, Representative, it's always great working with you. Thank you. And you're recognized to close.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. I need a blessing. Please vote for my bill.
Okay. Calling for a blessing. Tamara, please call the roll. Let's take a vote on House Bill 1225.
Representatives Bankson?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Clayton?
Yes.
Horace? Roth?
Yes.
Trunell? Waldron?
Yes.
Yarkowski? Yes. Chair Roach?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, let the record reflect by a vote of 14 to 0. House Bill 1225 has passed favorably out of this committee. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay, members, next up we have Representative Gregory to explain House Bill 1615. Representative Gregory, good morning. It's truly good to see you again. We've been thinking about you. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman Roach, Vice Chair Roth, Ranking Member Joseph. Thank you for putting this bill on the agenda. This bill is a repealer bill. It's something that I try to do every year in the Florida legislature, and that is find a section of the law that's obsolete or should be repealed because it violates our Constitution or just doesn't pass, you know, a good common sense test. This could fall into and does fall into a provision or an area that I would declare is unconstitutional. This is a section of Florida law that automatically terminates a constitutional right just because a local sheriff or other designated public official declares a state of emergency. It specifically repeals Section 870.044, automatic emergency measures. I've sent a text to all of you about the bill and answered a few questions. I'm happy to take any questions today. It's really a simple bill that repeals a small section of Florida law. That is the bill.
Okay, thank you, sir. Members, we're in questions on House Bill 1615. Representative Cross, you're recognized to kick it off.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Gregory. Have you seen instances where this has been abused by local officials?
You're recognized.
Thank you. I have not.
Well, follow up. Representative Waldron, you're recognized for a question.
I have a couple. Thank you. To your knowledge, has anybody ever been prosecuted under this statute?
Recognize.
I'm not sure I under the question. Can I just ask for clarification? Do you mean a sheriff or a public official for declaring the emergency or somebody else?
No, sorry.
Yeah, you're recognized. Clarify.
I meant for actually, you know, selling guns or something during the state of emergency.
You recognize.
No, I'm not aware of that.
You recognize.
And just to clarify, assuming this passes, would the governor be able to override and impose this back in place temporarily if he or she felt a need to?
You're recognized.
Excellent question, but outside of the scope of this bill, this doesn't deal with the powers of the governor. This is only a local sheriff or designated public official.
Okay.
Follow up?
Nope. Thank you.
Okay, members, we're still in questions. Ranking member, recognized.
Thank you. I understand that you generally like to look for bills to repeal. My question for you is twofold. One, do you know why this bill was created in the first place? And two, have there been any incidents or reasons that make you feel like this particular one needs to be repealed? Like, has anything actually happened, or is it more philosophical?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. It's entirely philosophical. I don't think that we should have provisions in Florida law that violate the Constitution. So I think as we look for those areas in law, we should repeal them. I don't know the history of this. It looks like it was initially put into Florida law in 1970, but I wasn't around then and don't know.
Okay. Having acknowledged it was not around in 1970, members, we're still in questions. Okay. Seeing no further questions. Members, I see no amendment on this bill. Seeing no amendment, we're moving into public testimony. We have no public comment cards received. Members, we're in debate on Representative Gregory's House Bill 1615. We're in debate, members. Representative Plakin, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you for bringing this good bill forward and protecting our Constitution. I am up. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Jocks, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Gregory, for this great bill that is strong on our constitutional rights to keep and bear arms. The notion that a government official can strip us of our constitutional rights enshrined in the Second Amendment just because of a declared emergency is totally inconsistent with the Constitution. And in fact, I would argue during a declaration of emergency is probably when you probably need your constitutional rights to keep and bear arms the most. When you see things that are occurring in our communities and things that could occur, certainly government should not be a barrier for free citizens to be able to exercise that right enshrined in our Constitution. Thank you, sir.
Representative Brannon, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was around in 1970. And it wouldn't bother me if about every third year we had a session that just repealed bills and didn't pass any. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Representative Cross, you're recognized in debate. Tell us about where you were in 1970.
Let's see. No. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative Gregory, I appreciate you talking about your motivation behind this bill. I think when we saw instances back in maybe the 90s, like rioting in LA and things after earthquakes, I think it presents an opportunity for a lot of violence, a lot of chaos. And so I think there is some value in this that, you know, we already have a lot of people who are registered to own firearms and have ammunition here. My concern is that we have a major hurricane or a disaster. People who do not have the training or the wherewithal are now suddenly flocking to these stores and getting guns and ammunition and may not know how to responsibly use them. So I think there was probably a reason behind this and the aim being to protect citizens of our state. So I'm going to be down on the bill today.
Thank you. Members in debate. Representative Bankson, you're recognized in debate.
I was feeling groovy in the 70s. Yeah, I am up on this bill. I think it is a good bill. Again, even in the last election cycle, as I knocked on doors and talked with people on both sides of the aisle and political spectrum, they were saying, we want the ability to protect ourselves. And we've seen some of that amping up, over these last couple of years and some of the challenges that we faced. And so this is restoring rights, constitutional rights to individuals. I'm up on this bill.
Okay, we have concluded debate. Representative Gregory, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll just add a couple of notes. I appreciate the debate and agree with the vast majority of it and appreciate even those that are opposed to it understand that your approach to it. I just want to point out a couple of things. You know, it's not just the purchase, right? It also makes it illegal for them to sell, of course. It's outlawing a constitutional right by both ways. It also makes it illegal to possess a firearm. So even if you had a permit and had training, and not that, you know, these things are necessarily required, shouldn't be required to exercise this constitutional right, it also prohibits that. Probably even more revealing is that the section of law directly after this, 870.045, lists discretionary measures, things that are not automatically terminated, but could be terminated. Under what circumstances, they don't explain, but it does give, you know, optional authority for the designated city official to impose a curfew, to ban the sale or distribution of alcoholic beverages, to possess alcoholic beverages, to possess gasoline, to possess a container holding gasoline. None of these things are constitutional rights, and they're not automatically terminated, and those are perhaps things that you may more logically conclude with a riot. At any rate, I appreciate the debate, and I look forward to your support on this bill.
Thank you, Representative Gregory. Having closed on his bill, Tamara, please call the roll, and let's take a vote on House Bill 1615.
Representatives Bankson?
Yes.
Brackett? Yes. Brannon?
Yes.
Cross?
No.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Joseph?
No.
Lopez?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Porras? Roth?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Yarkowski? Chair Roach?
Yes.
12 yeas, 2 nays.
Members, let the record reflect that House Bill 1615 has passed out of the committee favorably by a vote of 12-2. Congratulations, Representative Gregory. Thank you. Have a great day. Okay, members, that concludes our short agenda this morning. We finished in just a little over 40 minutes. Congratulations. With that, Representative Cross moves that we rise. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.